Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode. We're continuing our conversation about the roles of women, and this week we sort of started our conversation based off Maggie Gyllenhaal's directorial debut, The Lost Daughter, which Ivy and I had the pleasure of getting a little sneak peek of at MoMA. So let's get into it.
I'm super excited to keep talking about this because y'all couldn't see us, but when we were having this conversation previously about the book, kind of had to be like, okay, we're hitting an hour. So it was time for us to start wrapping it up. But I wanted to, I guess, first talk about, it's actually interesting, Ivy and I went to go see, what would you call this? I guess it was like a preview, but they didn't even call it a preview. When we got there, we didn't even know it wasn't out yet, but we went to go see Maggie Gyllenhaal directed a new film called The Lost Daughter, starring Olivia Colman. And I mean, the cast is stacked, but Olivia Colman is like, and I guess Dakota Johnson, right, are sort of the main characters. And we went to go see that at MoMA, and then Maggie Gyllenhaal, you know, answered some questions afterwards. And the whole theme of this movie, this Lost Daughter, is weirdly, we feel somewhat connected to the book, at least in sort of the general theme we want to discuss today, which is just sort of this role of women and this, as Ivy said, internalized misogyny, because Olivia Colman's character in the movie is like, essentially, wouldn't you say it's like she is basically bearing the burdens of like feeling like the mother always has to do, like, be the caretaker, always has to be like the one who would stay, like she can't go off and have an affair. Well, she does, spoiler, but like, Ivy, you know what I'm saying here. It's like, I think she's sort of like, because she's a woman, she's like doing things purely because she's a woman and because she feels like she has to be the mother and have these like natural instincts, like feminine instincts and mothering, which is so.
Yeah. And I think the interesting part about the movie is that you start to realize as it goes on, not only is she trying to live up to these expectations that were placed on her that come with the role of being a mother, but we all have the expectations like of ourselves too. And she ends up going completely against what she's supposed to do when she hits like a breaking point when, what would you say, her kids were definitely elementary school age when she just
like 7 and 5 or something like that, or maybe a little older, maybe
yeah,
8 and 10, like 2 years apart. Yeah, sort of pretty young.
And even as her children become adults and she tells other people like, oh, I have children, she's on this vacation basically by herself, and people are asking like, oh, you know, like, are you here by yourself? And, you know, where's your husband? Where are your kids or whatever? And she says that she has kids, but, you know, what did she say? She's like, there's this perfect line that Maggie Gyllenhaal mentions.
The one about being an unnatural mother.
An unnatural mother.
I love that one. Yes. Spoiler. Tell them what Maggie, like, that's also, like, that's a side note. We'll come back to that.
We will come back to that. But that just like encapsulates her whole deal in the movie, is that she's like, will admit to being selfish and admits to, people ask, you know, okay, well, once you left your children, like, what was your life like? And she says that's so much better. And she loves it like a million times more than she did when she was stuck being a mother.
She says things like out loud that like, I'm sure both of us don't have children, but like,
it's like, very unmotherly.
Everyone's like thinking kind of, or like kind of like the dirty secret, like the unglamorous side, like what no one wants to tell you, like the feelings that you'll feel.
Definitely. And I think, I mean, initially it's a slow movie too, like the whole thing is slow. It's not necessarily visually pretty either, you know, and at first I was like, that's what I like in a movie, you know, like it's a visual thing, which yeah, also kind of goes back to like our format.
Spoiler alert, we were both like very skeptical after the movie. Like we were like, I don't like this. And then like, give us like 30 minutes at dinner afterwards. We were both like, this is iconic. We were like really loving it.
she was doing something. Like, I don't know, you realize, I guess my realization at the dinner was, oh, it was maybe intentionally not pretty. To, if it were to be visually pretty, it would have romanticized like these ideas, and like they're harder topics. Like, you're as a woman not really allowed to say like, oh, fuck my kids, like I hate them, or like I hate being a mother. Like, that's like a big, and you could tell like everyone in the crowd was like uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable like hearing her speak about her children like that. And that also kind of still leads into our internalized feelings of things.
I know. I also, spoiler alert, the best part ever was like Maggie Gyllenhaal's mother was there too. Wasn't that amazing?
That was so good. And then in the interview, the interviewer asked her, are you going to show your children this movie? And she was like, no.
It's like, so obviously, I just think that makes it even clearer that like this is such like a what would we call it? Just like a not a pretty topic.
No.
Idea that you could feel, I don't know, I would almost say that it feels like the character, Olivia Colman's character, would, I'd almost describe her as like her kids are like sucking the life out of her almost, and like
you don't even get to have a life if you're,
yeah, it felt very, yeah, because her character, right, is a professor of like, I can't remember specifically, like Italian or something, Italian literature, right? Something like that. And, you know, so she's, you know, trying to be an academic and trying to have her own career. And that sort of drives her crazy that these like children, basically like you would, she could, would say like the children like ruined that part of her life, or that's how this character feels. And I think what's most interesting and why we're even bringing it up is because it sort of brings up this idea of that a woman will always have to like take on those roles, while it's not really expected of a man sort of as much. And like, I don't know the statistics on like affairs and things, but I would almost guarantee that it's probably like when you're like burnt out by your children or whatever, I'm sure there's more men who would like state the reason, like if there was like statistics on men and women both like having an affair because like their children are driving them crazy, I'm sure it's probably more men. Again, this is just speculation, but
I think what reminds me of my body in this is Maggie Gyllenhaal said in the interview too that the book that the movie is based off of, when she was reading this author in particular, I'm not sure I'm going to say her last name right, but I think her name is Elena Ferrante or something like
that. Ferrante, yeah.
Yeah, she was saying when she was reading her books that at first her initial reaction was to be like, oh my god, these characters are so fucked up. And then afterwards being like, oh, but they're relatable. So like,
I forgot about this.
Kind of fucked up too. And like the idea of it being relatable, even though it's stuff that you don't really fully want to claim, is also how I felt reading my body.
That is exactly what you were saying earlier. I think in the last episode, we were really talking about, we naturally, I think this is sort of what we were touching on when we were discussing what I was saying about like Instagram, at least. It's like these internalized ideas of like the image that I'm creating is like communicating like a certain thing. And it's all like fitting a role and like checking boxes in a sense. And so I totally agree that it sort of brings up like things you want to think that you're above and that you don't participate in, like that you don't have these feelings.
I think too, what reminds me of our conversation of yesterday is kind of the binary thinking of it all. Like with this, it's like, oh, she decided to leave her kids. She's a bad mother now. Like, you're either a good mother or a bad mother. There's not a lot of, no one's really going to claim that they're an average or so-so mom, you know? And I think, I don't know, I think that's interesting that there's not really a lot of nuance in any of the roles that we're supposed to be playing. It's like, you are good at it or bad at it. I find that in feminism too, you know? Like, you're either a good feminist or not.
It's like a binary sort of.
Yeah. And there are still, it comes with the expectations of anything. I feel like we, with roles, you're either good at them or not. Like, there's not a, I don't know, there are books about being, what is the popular book? What is that by, I think, Roxane Gay, like, Bad Feminist? You know, it's like a thing to admit that, like, you are one, but it still isn't, like, anyone's end goal.
Mm-hmm. I was just remembering, oh my gosh, remember, speaking of Emily Ratajkowski again, remember she got so much hate for this one photo of her holding, do you remember this? Of her holding her baby, like, what were people specific, do you remember specifically why?
Yeah. Yes, it was a picture of her holding her baby, and, like, she's in a bikini or something, like, she looks good, but the baby isn't, like, as supported as, like, you technically should be holding a newborn child, I guess, and people were, like,
ripping her.
Yes, they were, yeah, like, she's a terrible mother, she cares about looking hot more than she cares about her child, like, blah, 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 blah. And again, it's like, okay, so she's either hot and a bad mom, or, like, you can be a good mom and do the opposite. And it's just like,
I think there's, like, a weird sort of, like, shaming that comes from other women too, that it's like, you have the time to look good. Like, you must not be taking care of your child.
Oh my God. And yes, do you remember too? This happened when Beyonce had her twins. She did, like, Beychella, like, her Coachella.
Was that right after her twins?
It was, like, a year after, I think. Okay. And everyone was going and saying, like, oh, she should not dress like that now that she's a mother. Like, why is she dancing, like, so provocatively? Oh. Like, imagine how embarrassed her children will be when they grow up and see stuff like that. And it's just, like, as a mother, you lose the sense of, like, sexuality that you built up, like, when you were younger, which is so, again, like, the switching of the roles, like, you know what I mean? It's like the pushing the finish line further and further every time you get closer, like, to something.
I feel like we can think of so many examples of this too. There's also, like, sort of once you hit a certain age, and I can think of so many examples that I feel like apply specifically to women and, like, their, you could say, like, the image that they create of themselves, or, like, the presentation of themselves. And I think that's so awful that I feel like it's almost sometimes I'm like, well, I'm 20, you know, I'm in my 20s now. I better get it out of my system so I can, you know, dress my age or whatever that means.
Yeah, honestly, the older I get, the more I realize just the name Forever 21. I'm like, they knew something.
They were on to something.
I'm like, what a genius name, honestly. Like, and that's, like, that's in a Kanye song too. He says, like, something about, like, just turned 30, but still rocking Forever 21 or something like that.
Oh,
like,
my gosh, I can't.
A group of women, and it's, yeah, like, but, like, I feel like what we're saying is, no matter what, like, to be a woman is to have expectations placed on you that you didn't really choose for yourself. And there is no winning in whatever role you're in, really, you know? And that's like, did you ever watch Big Little Lies?
I told you I couldn't because it was, like,
oh, yeah, it's too real.
Yeah. Well, for those, I really hope my family isn't listening to this, which they won't be, but, like, I don't know, just, like, you know what I mean. Too real, too real. But go back. So yeah. No, I didn't watch it.
With that, like, one of the big, like, conflicts of the show is these wives are basically jealous of, like, the stay-at-home wives are jealous of, like, the CEO boss lady mom, and it's the same thing. Like, they accuse her of, like, not being present with her child.
They mom shame her.
Yes, and then her nanny ends up having an affair with her husband, and they're like, well, you should have stayed home, you know, and things like that. And you're
that
right.
Like, they're just,
I know. And, you know, that kind of goes back to, like, the appearance and, like, the dressing thing too, that we were talking about yesterday, like, just on the topic of nannies really quick. My mom used to nanny when I was, like, in elementary school, and she purposely did it so that, like, I could go to work with her and stuff. And
that's genius.
I know. She, brilliant queen, but she told me, like, when I got older that, like, when she would go to interviews to, like, meet with the families beforehand, that like it was super important to dress in a way that was not sexy at all, or else it would be like too concerning to the wife. They wouldn't hire you. Yes. Yes. Like, I have like 1,000 examples. We can't just talk about all the examples, but the point is like, there's no escaping the roles or the expectations. And even when you're like, oh, I am doing this for myself, I mean, I don't think that's actually possible, which really kind of sucks.
What do you mean by doing something for yourself? Like, oh, the argument of like, I'm dressing this way because it makes me feel. Oh yeah, we're both on the same page about this, that we both think that it's like internalized misogyny, essentially, that like this sort of idea of, and oh, gosh, this also ties to just like the current idea, I would say, whatever wave of feminism we're in right now, I can never remember. So I'm like, we're not fourth anymore, I don't think. I don't even know what we're calling this era of feminism. Like, if I'm going, you know, historically, I don't know what this is really called. Someone can check me in the comments. But this idea that you can dress, I don't know what word to use, but like more revealing, and that's empowering. And if you're a feminist, you should support other women who want to dress that way and like uplift them. And I'm like, honestly, I just want everyone to do what they want, but I don't want it to like be because like that's like a feminist cause. Like, I want it to just be like a natural thing, if that makes more sense. Like, I do not care about other people and what they are doing.
Yeah, we've talked about this. Like, ideally,
and to me, that's like not an issue. It's like, you should just do it. I don't know. Like,
the utopian version of feminism is actually just the freedom to do what you want, even if it's different from
exactly.
The one you. But we are not there yet.
So if I cover myself up, basically, okay, thank you. You finished my point. I was trying to figure out where I was going with this. The point is she can do that, but I can also dress, and I can also wear a suit. And that's also, you know, feminist as hell, or whatever we're calling it.
It's so weird though, because it totally changes. I feel like, I mean, not to always be like, oh, when I was growing up, but like middle school, high school was like peak Tumblr era, like for me. And like the discourse of Tumblr at the time was like, be a slut, do whatever you want. Like, it was very like full force, like sex positive for women.
Yes.
And at the time you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yes. Okay. Let's do this.
Thank you. You said the term sex positive. That's what I was looking for. The point is I'm saying is should be able to be sex positive or sex negative and like do whatever you want. And that is feminism, being able to be either and not being called out by anyone.
Weird though, because the other problem with the conversation is that we have also decided that it depends on like the atmosphere, because we were super sex positive in terms of like dress however you want, there shouldn't be a dress code for high schoolers, like this is sexist, and like I don't disagree, but like then later, do you remember that was like super buzzy a couple of years ago, like feminists were freaking out, not everyone, but
school,
like
school dress codes,
no, about
that's also an issue still. I still the shoulder. That was always the thing, was the shoulders. That always killed me. I was like, ooh, my shoulder.
Everyone is like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, that's beyond me.
I mean, that was 15 years ago when I was having that conversation of what's the shoulder.
I know.
To people.
That's like the really disappointing part about like conversations like this, like to have it like at our age now, is that I feel like I'm still vouching for a lot of the things that I was vouching for like 10 years ago. I'm like, this is kind of exhausting. And that's kind of sometimes how I would just describe being a woman in general. I'm like, this is getting a little exhausting today. Like, I'm just going to stay home today. But what I was going to say was like the buzzy thing a couple of years ago was like women in superhero movies. They were like, why do women superheroes always have to be like so sexy and wearing like the latex outfit and all of that? And it's like, why can't we have a superhero woman who isn't sexy? And it's just like, I don't know. Like, or why is it, again, it's like either or.
But aren't all superheroes sexy?
They're all conventionally attractive except for like the Hulk. So like I don't know what we're I don't know.
And that's like a literal monster. So I'm not really sure what they're trying to I don't know what they're trying to get at there. Like, see, I'm trying to figure out what the argument is. Like, I'm totally for things where there's like disparity. Like when it's like, yes, let's fix that. And like clearly the woman like is like, if there were situations, maybe they're just like talking. I guess the woman is always in like some weird leotard, and I guess the man is always fully covered, but I mean he's ripped and like fulfilling like other sort of, like you said, conventionally, like they're all conventionally attractive. So I don't know if I, but so the logic was essentially, okay, why do they always have to be sexualized, I guess, like the female characters? Well, my argument, the concern I have more is that, like, why is there always like a squad of guys and like one girl?
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Also, I mean, I haven't seen that many recent superhero movies, honestly, but like I remember specifically like in Marvel movies, like Scarlett Johansson's character and
Black Widow.
yeah, and the Olsen character, like the mind reader girl. I can't remember her name,
It'll
but
come to me.
oh, I think the Scarlet Witch. They had like tragic backstories too. And like that was
Ooh.
so weird to me.
Like,
Like they
why do
had
the female
really fucked up
characters?
like family scenarios. Like that's why
Huh.
Black Widow is like a trained assassin, is like because of her family like making
Yeah.
her so and things like that. And I remember just being like, huh. Like not that the other characters like don't have background stories, but it's just like, oh, I got bit by a spider and now I'm a superhero. But
Love
like
that.
but like the girls, it's like I had extreme trauma. My brother died in an earthquake. Now I am like, you know what I mean? I just like
Trauma. Keyword trauma.
I don't understand. It's like, is that like compensating for like them being sexy? They're like, let's make them kind of deep. Like, let's have extreme empathy for them. Like, I have no idea. I haven't seen like the recent ones though, where they get to like star in the movies
I was gonna say,
instead of being
maybe
like
we're all
background
wrong,
characters.
because
Yeah.
maybe we're all wrong, but I think of that. I know you're thinking, I love how you interpreted that sort of backstory construct as them being deep and therefore being like a more layered character, where I'm like, no, they're just like tying women to their emotions more, which I think is another
Yeah.
trope. Like,
Because also a lot of like the male characters, like Iron Man versus Captain America or whatever, it's like they're fighting to be like the leader of the squad. Like the women are never like, let's fight to be the leader of the squad. It's
they
like
would never dream.
it's not even like a subject of conversation.
Tragic.
And then also they date the other superheroes. Like they don't ever really get to like stand on their own as far as like the ones that I've seen. But it's just like Black Widow
I
ends
know,
up
I'm
being
like, these
the Hulk.
comic book nerds are gonna come after us. Like,
I
I'm really
know. We're
sorry.
gonna get canceled, but we might have to do like a follow-up conversation of like we sat down and watched the rest of the new superhero movies. Like here's what's happening.
Update.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I saw the Brie Larson one, like what was that? Captain Marvel. That
Captain Marvel.
was actually like a vibe. I actually really liked
It
that.
was a vibe. Okay. I
Just
would love
because.
to maybe follow up on either we can watch like Captain Marvel or like the Gal Gadot Wonder Woman, because I know that got a lot of hate, actually, I'm pretty
I
sure. So
loved that one too. I
that would
remember
be,
really
yeah.
liking that. And it got a lot of hate because there were a lot of like feminist jokes. Like
Were there?
she, yes, like very directly.
Okay, maybe we should do a deep dive on this. I'm kind of interested in this
Yeah.
superhero concept now. I think we've hit
Exactly. I'm like, what are the expectations placed on women superheroes? Like,
something.
but actually, yeah, that needs to be studied. I guess, wow, of course we took like a really deep road into like something that we weren't even planning on talking about.
Superheroes just came up, but no. Wait, what were some of the feminist jokes? Can you
But I
remember
remember
specifically?
specifically, like there were two scenarios where like I don't remember his role, but she's with a man who is like obsessed with her. And of course, like, of course. And I just remember there being like a bathing scene, and she basically jokes at like, it's like a small penis joke, basically. But like, there's another one where like she says directly, like, I don't remember word for word, but something along the lines of just like, oh, like, of course not. Like, you're a man, like being like disappointed in like male behavior in general. And I was like, because you know, the premise of the movie is like, she lives on like an island full of like women warriors, like men do not exist on this island, and it's very like, you know, and then this man shows up and
Got it.
he's like in a women wonderland. Like,
Wow, we should watch this and do a deep dive. But I was just going to
the
say
other thing was that she filmed all of it while she was pregnant and like still got to be the sexy like that. I think she
okay.
may have done a lot of her own stunts too. I have to double check that, but I remember that being a big deal that people were like, it's always crazy when women do incredible
You can
things
be
for men.
pregnant and still be a human.
Yes, like when
Shocking.
Serena, so what did Serena win when she was pregnant? Like a grand slam, and people were
Oh,
like,
yeah.
people were so ridiculous. Do you remember that? They were like, well, that counts as like doubles because she had like a baby inside of her. That's two people playing
Oh,
like one
my.
match. I was like, this is
That
really
is
something.
literally the weirdest logic I've ever heard in my entire life.
I just know that wasn't a thought from a woman. But that's weird too. Like, our expectations for pregnant women are even different. Like, you should be home taking care of yourself. Like, and I guess what that stems from, like the health aspect, but still weird. Like, no one expects women to like be doing like cool career things like that while pregnant.
No,
Like,
it's always like I'm a working mom.
I'm not just a mom. I am a
You
working
see what I'm
mom.
saying? It's like always, I think that's what I was interested in earlier, is like talking about how it will always be like, I'm a female director, I'm a female artist, and I, this is like shifting the conversation in a completely different way, but we've mentioned this 1,000 times to each other, is that how I cannot stand like that distinction. And I think it's often like to frame an entire narrative that I don't even think is like necessarily about someone being a woman. But then again, I can think about specific, like there are people who talk like they're, you know, like you could say their shtick or like whatever their main like focus of most of their work is like their experience as a woman or their experience as a mother is like, or their sort of like identity as a woman. Like there are people who do that overtly. Like, yes, I'm not denying that, but there's also people that I think that are just like painting things, and then some like annoying art historian who's probably like some old white dude comes in and is like, oh yeah, let's like frame this whole exhibition of her work. This person is dead, but I'm going to place this meaning on it that everything is like she was ahead of her time. She was like a feminist. She was this, she was that. And it's like, I could say like a lot of other really positive things about the work that have nothing to do with her being a woman. I'm like, this is literally a flower. And if you know what I'm talking about. You caught the reference.
Yeah, it's never just a flower. We can never just let fruit be fruit. A flower is never just a flower. It's like if a woman made it, it's about something else. And I'm just like, is it? I don't know. It really depends. But also, yeah, we do talk about that a lot. That we even, I mean, you know, like, I don't know. Of course, as all of our conversations are just us figuring it out as we go. Like, I remember getting annoyed even like a few years ago with like the rallying for like Planned Parenthood. Like, I'm not against Planned Parenthood whatsoever. I've like donated to it for years, but like it was bothering me that it became this like pinnacle of feminism was to like stand up for Planned Parenthood. And like, yes, I will do that. But also, like, can we not forget the history of Planned Parenthood? Like, it was not originally like a feminist thing. It was the person who started Planned Parenthood was super fucked up and was trying to like
It was super
ethnically
racist.
cleanse her neighborhood.
Yes.
She was trying to make it so that like minorities were not going
not
to
having
have
children. Yes.
And it's great that it's not that anymore, obviously, but like that's what we're talking about. Like the pushing the current idea of feminism on past things that were so obviously not that is really an issue that we have, but it's still the expectation
to support it no matter what.
Yes.
It's like a zero tolerance policy, essentially. Like thou shall, you know, support all of these claims if they're attached to feminism in any way, even if they have some sort of twisted. I just like
it's really hard though, because like you do get what I mean, like I get caught up in that all the time. Like I used to when I was younger, and I still do. I told you that story about that girl in high school who I got into an argument with, like in front of the class, because we were fighting about, like the conversation was like, first of all,
tell the story.
Okay. I was in a class in high school called like Theory of Knowledge, which is some bullshit. Like it's just debating topics for like the IB diploma, basically. But one of like the things that we were debating about this on International Women's Day, like if equality is realistic, like is that ever going to happen, basically. And of course, like I ran a feminist club in high school, I was like ready to go, and there was like a pick me girl in the class, which is fine, I forgive her, but
honestly, she was doing what she needed to do, and that's fine. And
she was working with what she knew at the time, and I do know that. And this is the hard part. See, this is like the bad feminist part. Like I should have just been like, you have the freedom to like disagree, but at the time I was like, you are a woman, like you should be a feminist. Like she was talking about how at the time Kim Kardashian had posted like the nudes, like with the black bars for International Women's Day. And it was the same conversation. She was like, this is not classy. Like, this is super gross that she would post that.
The word classy sends me into a spiral.
That's a Southern thing that we just have to talk about another time, because that is like,
we have Southern trauma.
Yeah, we have internalized Southern trauma.
like that's a whole book.
That really is. I don't think I've seen that talked about enough. Just the words of the South. Like, that's another thing. But anyway, so she was like, she had just had like her, I think she had just had North at the time. Like very recently had North. And this girl was like the same thing. Like she's a mother. International Women's Day has nothing to do with being naked. Why would you do that? It's not classy, blah, blah, blah. And we were going back and forth because I was like, she's allowed to do whatever she wants. And I was saying what I'm saying now, you can be sexy and be a mom. You can be casual and be a mom. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, do whatever you want. Also, like, she's Kim. Like, she has been doing that. It's not like she's like, oh, I'm a mom now, I'm going to be naked. Like, she
has someone already- who's literally like, her brand is her body.
Yes, she's like a Amrata figure, honestly. Like
I would say are very similar in a lot of ways.
They posted the nude bar picture together. Like they have a picture together of like a mirror photo of them like shirtless. And I was looking at it recently because I was trying to remember the caption, and Emily posted it. She was like, we're allowed to do whatever we want with our bodies. Like the same conversation. This is from years ago too. She was saying like, some of us are empowered with clothes on. Like some of us are not. Like do whatever you want to make yourself feel good. Like that's what we're doing. And anyway, so the girl in high school, we got into it. I was defending Kim. She was going against Kim. And then messy, embarrassing, bad. I was like, whatever guy. Also, this was a class that had 5 girls and the rest were guys. It was like dominated by guys. And I was like, whichever guy you're like trying to impress in here, I don't know if it's a specific.
That's my favorite part of the story, that you're like, I know there's someone in here.
I know. I was like, you are defending this like to no end in a way that just like does not sit right with me. I know you're doing this for a guy, which is internalized misogyny. Like that is the pick me girl. We need to do that too. Like just talk about like the tropes of things like that still stems from the expectation.
The first time you said pick me, I was like, oh my gosh, we need to dive into that, because that is literally women hating in a lot of way.
I want to go through all of the tropes of women in like literature and in TV, because did you see the Sex and the City thing recently where the woman who made Sex and the City was saying like,
Candace Bushnell.
Yeah, she was like, there are way more than four types of women. Like, there's not just you know what I mean? She's like listing, because she's like, that's such a popular question. Like, are you a Samantha? Are you a, you know? And she was like, for television, like, you kind of can't have more than four. Like, at the time that the show was made, like, it's palatable to only have this many. There are so many more than that. I could have made, like, a group of, like, 15 women.
Yeah.
Like, you know? But, like, there's that. There's the Manic Pixie Dream Girl, which is so funny. Because have you seen recently, I forget the new term, but there's a term for, like, the guy version of a Manic Pixie Dream Girl. And, like, they're using that to describe like Machine Gun Kelly and Travis Barker, like the kind of like goth punk dangerous, like looking slightly dead
e-boy type of man. But old.
Yes. Exactly. But yeah, we have to discuss all of those because I feel like they still stem from internalized things.
Back to your story.
Back to my story. Anyways, yeah, I was like, whoever you're trying to impress in here, like just speak to them directly, like I'm done with this. And that is how it ended. And I don't like that I did that. At the time, I was like, I just killed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I left being like, I won that. Like, I won the argument. But then as I've like gotten older, I'm like, see, I have it too. Like, I have like the internalized like expectations. Like, if you're a woman, you should care about your own rights. Like, why would you not care about your own rights and things like that? And that's my own version of being a bad feminist. Like, it takes like a lot of like, I don't know. With all of that too, not to tie it into like cancel culture, but like my problem with that also is that like in both scenarios, there's not really a lot of room for mistakes, but there's also not like super clear criteria of doing it right, especially when the idea of doing it right changes over time. So
what do you mean specifically, like doing what right, like handling like, that scenario, or
yeah, like being a feminist, like the idea
in that scenario is very hard, essentially, is what you're saying. Like,
well, at the time, this is year 2016, like this is happening, like at the time it was like that kind of aggressive, like wake up, like you need to like get with the times, like why are
well, it was
not
the post-Trump election. It was like women's marches everywhere. And like 2016 was that year of like, remember, yes. I love the Amber, what's her name? The Amber yes. Rose, the yes, slut walk
queen. Yes, exactly. Like that was the time. And I was just like, I don't know. Everyone was fed up for sure. I think I was slightly, I had like, I don't know, even more passion than like I do for it now, because I was just getting so annoyed by Southern things like that. I was like, these boys in this class are gross. Like, there's no need to even try to like be a pick me. Like, no one in here is worth being a pick me for, is what I'm trying to say. But like, I shouldn't have done that. Like, we could have had.
No one's worth like, being a pick me.
Well, honestly though, like it was like a room full of like football guys and stuff, like you know, it's just like whatever. But I don't know, there are a lot of scenarios like that now that are more effective, like one-on-one versus like, why did I choose like a classroom to like I didn't build her up, I like tore her down for like having a different opinion, which is like not how I would go about it now at all. But that's what I mean. Like, I thought I was doing the right thing at the time because that was kind of like what people were doing at the time. Like, it was really not forgiving at all. And it seemed more so, I don't know. I don't know if I would say that actually. Back then and now, there are still, I think, harsh expectations of like what we should be doing. Like, the expectations are different from then and now, but like they are equally as harsh.
This is what we said earlier. We were like, this episode is expectations. Like, one being like of how to be a woman and like the role on one end, and the other end being of like, and how do I talk about my rights and how do I have this relationship to it? And it's all very defined in a lot of ways, is what I'm hearing and what I think I agree with.
And it's just like, again, the things that make it defined, like, you very rarely get to define it for yourself, you know?
For sure. Most of this, I would say, is like a constructed, like a societal, a construct? I don't know.
Literally, these aren't my original theories, you know? Like, I, the rules that I try to follow are different now, but like, I don't know. I like to think that as I'm getting older, I'm getting better at picking like which things I'm going to follow. Again, because you want to think like, you want to think I'm doing this because I want to do this.
No, or, everyone like, loves to think that this is like autonomous. Like,
and it's not. And like, that's one of those things. Like, the other big overarching thing is that there are gross aspects to all of this that we don't want to claim or admit to. Everyone wants to be above it. No one is. Like, no one's exempt from the expectations, you know? I mean, men
I
also.
I think the book really brought this up for both of us.
Yeah, actually, well, I told you my big turning point in the book was that I wanted a boob job my entire life. And then I read the book and I was like, wait, if I were to do that, I would be sacrificing, like, or I'd be running these potential risks. And I'm saying I would do it for myself because I would feel better. But the reason I would feel better is because I would be perceived by men differently, you know? And then I was like, that is very much so not for me, actually. And like, I remember that being a conversation about like,
about your image.
Yes. Like, that was the thing about makeup a couple of years ago. SCAD, I got into an argument, not a full argument, but just kind of like a back and forth thing with like one of my professors, because it was color theory, which I hate to start with. I hate color theory. I can't even get started on that. But the professor that I had, we were talking about like Pantone colors. And I was saying, like, at the time, this is 2017, it was when, do you remember in Sephora, they used to have those things that they would put up to your face?
Color IQ scanner?
Yes, to match you to foundations. And I was saying, like, oh, like, they use Pantone colors for that. And she was like, like, brave of you to assume that I have ever stepped foot into a Sephora. And I was like, whoa.
You're like, whoa, where's this coming from?
It was like a crazy
battle day.
No, really. And she was like, and she brought it up. She was like, women like to think that they are wearing makeup for themselves and that they are feeling better, like, when they have it on for themselves, but you feel better because you're treated differently for how you look, based on how men are viewing you. And at the time, this is also the era of like beat faces. I was like, what the fuck? Like, no, I wear makeup for myself.
No, this was the full beat era. We're talking baking with a beauty blender.
This is James Charles, like 2-inch
Kat
big.
Kat Von V.
Yes. Yes. The, what were those called? The liquid lipsticks that would last like 24 hours. That was a big thing on Tumblr too. It was like, which liquid lipstick is like sex proof? Like, which one will still look the same after having sex?
Terrible.
Isn't that great? And it was the Kat Von D one. But anyways.
Kat Von D. Shout out.
But I remember being like so offended by that because I was like, that's not true. But like, actually, it is hard to differentiate. Like, what is what you want it to be for yourself? And like, if you're being honest, if I'm being honest, a lot of times it's not.
This just reminds me of yesterday when I was saying that I think I dress for the other women. And as I'm like talking about it more, it's like, I would still say that, but it's because the standard that they are judging me by is still a standard that is like, do you see what I'm like, is still like desirable to a man? Like, in a lot of ways, like it
feels like it's your thing because you're controlling what you want people to find desirable within you, which is being smart. And like, that adds to the illusion of like, it's for me, you know?
Yeah, exactly. 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 That's all I can say. So as I'm like saying this out loud, it's just like, wow, this is so, it's like I'm conditioned.
Oh yeah. And it's just like, like, that's kind of what I keep coming to also, is like, we make progress, like, the more we talk about stuff like this. And that's why I think My Body and The Lost Daughter are so important, is that they are honest about things that people don't want to admit to, and that people don't want to discuss, let alone like acknowledge. Like, the fact that it's still a big deal to say like you don't want to have children, or like why is that always a thing? Like, even last week for Thanksgiving, like that Instagram post that was going around that was like, do not ask your female relatives at Thanksgiving like when they're planning on having more children, like when they're getting married, like, you know what I mean, like things like that. And it's just like, I don't know, there are things that we're just not moving past, like at the speed of which everything else is going. Like, our attention spans are like zero, you know, like TikToks are what, like 15 seconds.
What you're saying is that we should have, and you would think so, because our, like you're saying, we live in the soundbite era, you could say.
Yes. And it's just like, I think that's just proves how deep the expectations are, you know, like the, to separate ourselves
how
from
like it. How deeply rooted it is in,
yes,
our society.
To the point where, like, we're still so far behind, like, in that category. And like, to even really say what the more ideal version, like we said, like, I mean, the most ideal is just everyone doing whatever they want, actually for themselves.
And no one saying anything about it at all. Like, literally no feedback.
No feedback. But I don't know what it takes to get to that. But I feel like stuff like this is a step in the right direction to even just admit, like, hey, I feel these things, I think about these things, and they affect me really deeply. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this information yet, but I at least want to admit it. Admitting is the first step. Hello, therapy. Like, you know,
I just had a total, because when I just said out loud, no feedback at all, the reason why I said that is because, like, I feel like even positive feedback in a lot of these scenarios, like, reinforces, like, the construct. Like, I just thought in my head about other, like, getting all of your girlfriends to comment on your Instagram photo, like, hottie, like, love it. Do you remember when that was like a thing? I don't know what era we would call that. Do you remember that was like a thing, like you go and comment like so hot, like on all of your girlfriend, like, and I'm, again, I feel like that feedback is still, so some guy will see, like, am I crazy, am I making this up, or like,
no. I also remember, like, this needs to be at the forefront of culture again. I don't think enough people remember this, like, this is Kylie Jenner blue hair era. This is pre Kylie lip kit, when people would comment on her photos.
She was doing the hair extensions. Remember?
Yes, yes. But do you remember
blue hair extensions?
The comments on the photos were like first row for first row. So like, you would go to that person's page, like a row of their photos, and then they would do it for you. And it was a way to make it seem like you were getting more likes than you really were. And like, you know how you can see the people that you follow, like what they comment, like on celebrity posts like that? Like,
can you could still see that now? Am I just dumb and I don't know where it is?
It used to be like that.
No, it used to be like, well, Instagram's had so many. I mean, I feel like we're on like version like 4,000.
Oh my God, they need to chill with like the,
they need to chill. Updates. Every time I'm on there, I'm just like, I don't know where anything is anymore. I don't even know how to post a photo.
I know, I'm like, what is a shop button? Like, shut the fuck up.
No, what you're saying is that I remember, like, when I was in high school, so I'll say, because Instagram came out, I think, when I was, like, a freshman, maybe, or maybe, like, a, I know, isn't that wild?
No way, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think, I'm pretty
it was
sure
just it came a photo app. It was, like, an upgrade of, like, Flickr, initially, which is so, yes, weird to think about. Like, to think of Instagram not being social media is, like, foreign. I wrote a paper on that recently, and I had to ask my roommate, Dean. I was like, wait, this feels wrong. Like, it was a photo, like, sharing thing initially, right?
Flickr is the best comparison I've ever heard, because that's, you're completely on it with that. And so what we're saying is, back then, I remember it, it was seeing what your friends were liking and commenting on was actually like quite easy to toggle to. It was like, I remember it was activity was right next to their activity, and it was like really easy to see, which is all, I mean, again, like, social media as a whole is just like so voyeuristic and so, I mean, like, the whole idea of being seen, and you're sort of in that, what am I trying to reference?
The voyeuristic aspect of it is so interesting because it's not voyeuristic in the sense of like you are looking at something like private to someone. It's like you are viewing their idealized version of themselves. So it's like, I don't know, it's weird to still call that voyeuristic, even though it is. You know what I mean? Like, because the privacy element is gone, but not even, because you are still choosing what you're hiding.
Sorry, I was trying to say it was very panopticon, which, you know,
No. I love it. I wasn't like correcting you. I just think that's interesting.
I was trying to get to that word and I was like, who is that? I was like, oh, Foucault. Oh, God. I was like, I'm not going to take it and be an asshole. But I think that's so interesting that also, remember they were experimenting with not having likes be a thing?
And what's crazy is that they tested it in other countries before,
yes, before the United States. I thought it was insane. And that says a lot about about our particularly country and our relationship to social media.
That is crazy. That's another deep dive for another day, because
I know I don't want to get too far on the social media thing because I'm like, that's like a book again. But
that's our longest ongoing series.
Yeah, that's just like about everything all the time. But the point here is like, I was making that comment about the comment and then you got on the likes and it was like, again, I still think it's, yes, other women were doing, like other girls were seeing that and saying, okay, first row, whatever, and doing that. But it's like, again,
I've never seen the comparison of like, people have said that like participating in posting things for specific people, like how girls will post things after a breakup specifically to seem like they are happy.
Oh, like the whole scheme.
The scheme of it, like people compare it. They're like, to post something for like in hopes that your ex will watch it on Instagram is the equivalent to like Gatsby with the green light, like hoping that like she would come to the party. Ooh. Like throwing all these.
I love that.
Isn't that crazy?
I love this queen of connections coming in. Yes.
Sorry.
No, that's so good. That's so true. And what I'm saying again is that is all, again, I think, like, that's the perfect example of, like, what am I to do in this situation as, like, a true, as if we're sticking to our definition of feminism, of, like, where even what I'm doing is still, like, influenced by these, like, internalized, you know, like, things. Do you be a good friend and you do the thing that makes her look this, like, do you see what I'm saying? That is like a great example of like one of those scenarios where you're like, I don't know what the feminist thing to do is here. Like, it, you know, do I make my friend look hot on Instagram? Like for her ex-boyfriend, like that's just wild.
It feels weird to like not partake because then you're a bad friend. But like, okay, so to not partake in something like that.
And like an unsupportive woman, you know, on a woman-to-woman level. I mean, there's so many ways
to be a good feminist, but a bad friend.
And then on the other end, it's like men just say, see that as like scheming.
I know.
Like I said earlier, I said scheme, which is what men probably think.
Do you think they, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, do they know? I don't know.
Again, they could also be doing this. We do not.
I really
need to get in here and like have a straight guy come here and verify all these things for us.
Actually, yes, because I saw, was it on TikTok? I think it was on TikTok. This couple's therapist, she was saying, she's like, listen, I'm doing a survey. Like, I need everyone who sees this TikTok to please comment and partake. I see this come up in therapy constantly. Like, women get mad if like, or both men and women get mad if like their partner won't post them. It makes them feel like they're ashamed of the person they're with.
That's a huge issue in relationships.
Yes. And she was saying, she was like, and then other people are like, social media doesn't matter. Like, I love her. Like, she knows that I love her in real life. Why do I need to? And that's in the Frank Ocean album, like the Facebook story thing where he's like, I broke up with my girlfriend because she was mad that I wouldn't put on Facebook that we're in a relationship, but I'm with her every day. Like, why do I need to prove why is proving it to other people what will satisfy her?
Also, why is it women that feel like they need to do that? You're like, whoa, okay, sorry, I came out of left field with that one.
But actually,
that's like the topic. That is the topic today. Like, why is it the woman taking that on? Or why, no, she's not taking it on, but why has it become sort of...
And it goes
in programmed. I think we're becoming programmed to think, oh, I have to do this. I have to claim... It's honestly, I think it's like, I have to claim my man. Like, that's and sort of what it feels like to me.
What I hate the most about it is that to bring it up, like, to the person that you're with or something like that, feeds into the, like, women are just crazy, like, storyline. Like, why does she care about this? Like, that's crazy. Yes, exactly. That's another trope for another day. Just women being described as crazy is, like, one of my favorite things ever. But, yeah. Wow. Wow, there's just no real escaping yet.
I know. I feel like the point is that the book and the film really got us, I don't know, like, lots of self-reflection, I feel like, and that's why the conversations, I don't know, but I'm like, I don't want to end this. There's so much.
It's just very, like, my last thought, I feel like, with both, too. The importance of the conversation is, like, it got us both, like, all kind of, like, wild up about ourselves internally, like, what kind of ideals am I trying to fit if I'm being honest with myself? What am I partaking in if I'm being honest with myself? But it's also to look at all women. Like, it's as much internal as it is external to, like, think, like, the story, like, the high school thing. I'm like, I was partaking in something externally, like, to that girl. Like, you know, now I have to think about how I'm going to be in so many future scenarios that, like, I don't know that will come up.
The point is like, it's just a never ending. And I think, as we were sort of demonstrating earlier, is that, like, we could make these comparisons and connections and, like, most things that are present in our visual culture, I'll call them. And
that's what it is to be a woman.
Yeah. And that we're still navigating that, as Ivy said. Like, I think the point is like, we both don't know what I would do in that same scenario you were in that classroom. Like, is there a right answer? And
yeah, and I think the discussions of all of this, I mean, I like to think is, I mean, to use the word again, to kind of, like, reclaim and start, like, to start the process of figuring it all out, or to even just pause and think of it deeply, you know, we're, I think, getting closer to being able to, like, define things for ourselves. I don't think we'll ever get to the defining things for ourselves.
I was gonna say.
Until, like, I think the conversations are a step in the right direction towards that, is what I'm trying to say.
Always, as we say, it's sort of like, hello, universe, here is now my small contribution. Please send me back something in return, because I need all the help I can get.
Dear God, it's us.
I'm praying to the goddess Hello Kitty. That's what I always say.
That's your prayers.
Yeah.
But really... Yeah, well, to be a woman. But it's also, like, I think, not to, like, toot our own horn, but I think, like, this experience that, like, all women deal with in their own way, I feel like it's given to us because we have, like, the depth to question it and handle it and, like, talk about it. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
That's my go, women. Like, ending.
There you go. There's your positive ending. Yes. Quote.
To end it on a brief feminist rant.
Whatever wave we're on, that fits whatever wave we're on. You're fitting the brand image of feminism with that positivity. Yes,
I know. And that, I kind of hate that, though, because it still is like, see, I'm still involved in the internalizing of, like, I don't feel comfortable ending it on, like, a, I don't know, this is, like, just feels shitty note. You know, you do want to think, like, oh, we're capable of more. Like, we're better than that. Like, it will be okay, you know? And that's kind of like, it's that, but it's also kind of like, I feel like the womanly, like, I want to take care of it, sort of like, you know? It's hard to like,
sit beautifully.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, on that note, we need to just like be like, that was great as always. Yeah. And
we'll talk next time about our superheroes. So see you guys soon. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. In the meantime, please feel free to check out our website, www.unrealisticprojects.com. And be sure to follow our Instagram at Unrealistic Projects to keep up with all of our other content and to follow our episode notes. Alrighty, we'll see you there. Bye!